Right. I took a CD. I got a CD of Rabbi Yagain, and hopefully I'll have a nice, what I see, I have to find the story over here. But it's really like, it was way too crazy for me. That's why I couldn't even, but now that we're, now I gave you that intro, I guess we're going to try. I think, yeah, here it is. Rav Nissen Yagain. A nephew of the great Rabbi Nissen Yagain, Alav Hashalom, regarded a remarkable story about his illustrious uncle. I never heard of Rabbi Nissen Yagain until this story. Maybe I heard of him vaguely, but I didn't know him. And then, right after I read this story, I went to shul, and there it is, Rabbi Nissen Yagain, free discs on Rabbi Nissen Yagain, and I took one, and I hope to be listening to it sometime soon if I could actually find the time. He visited his uncle in his office. Rabbi Nissen Yagain mentioned they needed to pay the salaries of the kol that day. Do you have the money to pay the salaries? Asked his nephew. Actually, I am $23,000 short.
Wow.
$23,000. I don't know when the story was, but he's not, I don't think he's alive anymore. He's not alive anymore, so it's obviously, you know, an old story. So $20,000 even now is a lot of money. A lot of money. But so what are you going to do, his nephew asked? Hashem has never let me down in the past, and I'm sure that today will be no different. But even if someone comes in right now and hands you a check, you still need a few days to cash the check and the funds to be available. You don't think Hashem can provide me with cash? Says Rav Nissen Yagain. It's a great, you already realize the story's crazy, right? Nephew described that there, Nissen conducted his affairs as if everything was perfectly normal. He spent the usual hours learning, delivering shurim, he helped people who needed him. There was no worry, no anxiety, no concern. He went on his business with full confidence. Toward the end of the day, the nephew grew curious. After all, only a few hours left, Nissen paid the tariffs. Nissen went into his office, and the nephew heard him speak Takodesh Baruch. And he said, Hashem, you know that this is your kolel, not mine. I don't need this for myself. It's all for you. At that very moment, a man ran into the room, dropped a bag on the table, and left.
Oh my God.
Rav Nissen Yagain opened the bag, and sure enough, it contained $23,000 in cash. I said, this is a crazy story, right? It's crazy. It's a story that's not over. He took the money and paid. 2 years later, Rav Nissen was in Baltimore and came across a fellow who looked vaguely familiar. I know you from somewhere. No, we never met, the man said. Rav Nissen persisted until finally the man divulged that they indeed saw each other once. He was the mystery man that dropped the bag of money on the table that day. The man related he had been in Eretz Yisrael for his father's yahrzeit site, and after visiting his father's kever, he felt down to return to the hotel, take a nap. As he slept, his father came to him in a dream and said, how can you sleep? Rav Nissen Yagain needs $23,000. His father came to him in a dream. The man did not do. He didn't know where Rav Nissen Yagain was. So he immediately went down to the lobby. He's been asking around. He met a friend who happened to be in Israel on business. And the friend mentioned he had just completed a large deal and now found himself with lots of cash. He didn't even want to carry around. He said, perfect. I need cash. Give me $23,000. I'll pay you back when I get to the United States. And so the story was, he took $23,000, brought it to Rav Nissen Yagain. End of the story.
Wow, that's crazy.
Is that a crazy story? Is that a crazy story? That to me is like, okay, Rav Nissen Yagain is a holy Jew. I'm ready to listen to his disc. You know what I mean? I walked in like giving out free discs. Okay, who's this Sephardi rabbi? You know, like not interested. But after I read this story, who knows? This might change my life. Anyway, I was just telling you that because that is a Amunavad story. But that's not really what we wanted to speak about. We wanted to speak a little bit about tefillah. I was really hoping that one of our chevra that usually sits over here would be here, but Gamzul Ataiva, he's not here. Rosh Baruch Hu obviously doesn't want to be here. But we are speaking about the inyan of tefillah. I believe we spoke about tefillah a little bit in the past. You remind me if I'm correct. We spoke about what's the point of davening if everything is from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem knows what's good for me. Everything HaKadosh Baruch Hu does is good. So then what's the point of davening for? What's the point of this? What's the point of the whole tefillah thing, right? Yes.
We can't actually live like that story, right?
That's way, way beyond us. That's kind of why I didn't want to tell you the story. It's like way over. That's like, whoa. That's beyond, right? Sure. So therefore, I didn't want to say because I knew that I was going to get like, do you really believe that story? But that's someone that's living in a whole different place, right? We can live with similar types of things. We were talking about a person who loses money and was like very calm about it, got his money back. Morty Hallin. There it goes, right? Well, that's a similar story, but that's like just the little money, you know? That's something money that, you know, it could come back, whatever it might be. I just had a story myself with a friend of mine. I'll tell you the story quickly. An Amunavad story. Thank you, Yossi, for reminding me about that. A friend of mine who, he deals in fine art. He was in fine art, and he got a shipment of fine art of something that was worth $20,000. And he also got a shipment of something from Amazon for like a child's telescope that you pay like, you know, $15 for, you know. But it's a telescope, so it's big, so get to it. Anyway, the telescope was broken. So they returned the telescope to Amazon. So Amazon came to pick it up. And he wasn't there when Amazon came. So they took the wrong box. $20,000 worth of fine art just disappeared. He called Amazon. He's like, what's going on? What's going to be? What's going to happen? Amazon says, we're tracing it. This is going on for months. Amazon calls back and says, look, we traced as far as we can. We don't know where it is. We can't help you anymore. You want to sue us? You can speak to our legal department. We just don't know where it is. Could you imagine the frustration this person is going through? Right? First of all, for sure, you fire the... It was his cleaning lady that gave him the...
She's done.
She's done.
No second.
Right? For sure. And, you know, anyway, this past week, he gets a knock on the door. Here is your fine art. Just returns, just like that.
Amazon?
Amazon. Somehow they found it, and that's it. They don't know it. That's it. So you get frustrated, you get upset, you get tense, right? These are the types of things we get so tense about. But a person realizes it's all from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you stay calm. Now this thing again is talking about that day he's got to pay salaries and he's like, everything's cool. That's something beyond us. That's something that's like, that's another level. But we can all do things in our level of trying to stay calm about things. You might miss your flight, stay calm about that. You might lose the game, stay calm about that. You know what I mean? Whatever happens, it's all good. Everything's from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You know, whatever it might be. Something they can't, in the laundry, they can't find your pants. Stay calm, everyone. We could all, these are all things we can learn from. But now we're going to get back. Okay, Yoss, you got it?
Yeah.
Now we're going to talk about davening. I'd like to speak a little bit about davening. I'm speaking about the yisoid of davening is actually emunah. If you look at davening from a whole different lens, then we understand that davening is not a stira to emunah. Actually, davening is itself yisoid of emunah. Where do we see that? We see that from Moshe Rabbeinu. We know there's a very famous story about Moshe Rabbeinu when the Jewish people are fighting against, and Moshe Rabbeinu put his hands up and he put his hands down. Who is usually Jewish people fighting against?
Amalek.
And it says Moshe Rabbeinu's hands were up. What happens when his hands were up?
They win.
When his hands were down,
lose.
Why didn't he just keep his hands up?
He was tired.
They actually put stones under his hands to just keep his hands up. So practical Mishnah, you're familiar with the Mishnah, V'chi Yadav Shel Moshe Oisais Milchama, Oishaivrais Milchama. You think Moshe Rabbeinu's hands is what makes it happen?
Yes.
When Moshe put his hands up, Klal Yisrael looked up and they saw they were Meshabed Libam Laviyam Shabashamayim. They connected to Kodesh Baruch Hu. His hands were down, so they're not. So Moshe Rabbeinu was a form of tefillah. Moshe Rabbeinu was dominant to Kodesh Baruch Hu. The pasuk says, it says by the Yodais of Moshe Rabbeinu, they were Emuna. You Yodais Emuna. What does that mean? His hands were Emuna. There's a form of tefillah. Tefillah is Emuna. And I'll explain to you very simply how tefillah is Emuna. Tefillah is Emuna because what do we do when we daven? We say, Hashem, you're the source of all healing. Hashem, you're the source of all Parnasa. Hashem, you're the source of all salvation. Hashem, you're the source of all
wealth.
Bracha. You're the source of all wealth. Hashem, you're the source of everything. What is that? That's emunah. So when we daven, what we're coming to do is we're coming to strengthen our emunah. A person's in a difficult situation. If a person davens to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he davens to HaKadosh Baruch Hu with feeling, then what he's doing is he's tapping into his emunah. So listen to this amazing, there's a few amazing quotes over here. They've been culled from the book Living Emunah. A few quotes is as follows. The Goyin in Mishlei. Goyin in Mishlei says, Ruach ish yechalkel machaleu viruach. Pasuk says, Ruach ish yechalkel machaleu, which means, person has a machalo, person has a sickness. How does a person get better from his sickness? Viruach ish yechalkel machaleu, which means, the ruach of an ish, a person's spirit will be able to sustain him through his sickness. Says the Goyin, if a person gets sick, and through his sickness, he manages to stay happy, to stay calm, to be able to continue to realize that everything is from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, says the Goyin, that will help him to heal. What?
Not necessarily help him heal, just helps him accept.
So the question is what Yechalkel means. I hear. It depends what the word Yechalkel means. I hear you. The Mechaber of this Sefer is teaching Yechalkel as being it will heal you. What Rabbi Shaffel in training is suggesting is that it will sustain you. It will just keep you that you won't be broken by it. Yeah, I'm not. I have the same aura as you. You have to see the coin inside and see what Lashon is. Kel Amuna Vein Ovel. Right. Yeah. So yeah, that's a little bit of a complicated thing. We're going to leave that alone. But yes, Kel Amuna Vein Ovel. Leave that. This one's more Mefurish. It's a Medrash in Tehillim. The Medrash says, "Hashem Elokai Yeshuasi." Says the Medrash, "Ein li Yeshua Ella Becha." My only salvation is you. Hoyil V'chein Ani Moishiacha. Because that's the way you are, therefore I will save you. In other words, Hashem says, if you have Amunah in me, then I will save you. So what is Tefillah? Tefillah is trying to help us build our Amunah in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to save us. Tefillah is really realizing, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you are the only salvation. You are the source of all healing. You are the sole source of all panasa. You are the source of all bracha. A person says, when a person gives all of his faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu heals us, saves us. Why? If it was good to be poor, why does HaKadosh Baruch Hu make us rich? Because now that we have Amunah in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, now that we've built our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, now it's good for us to have the money. You know what happens when a person has money sometimes? They're talking about in America is a big thing. $1.5 billion. I don't know if anyone won or didn't win. Someone won?
Three people won.
Congratulations. Three people won. Now their lives have been wrecked, Rabbi Isai. Their lives have the word is statistically their lives have been wrecked.
Not from Hashem that they
want. What?
Not from Hashem that
they want. It is from Hashem that they want.
They're ready for it.
Yeah, but maybe not statistically. That's a good question. Let's see if they're ready for it or not. Hold on, I'll tell you. Hold on a second. Statistically, their lives are wrecked. Why? You take this guy. He lives somewhere in like I don't know, in Wisconsin, Ohio, or Wisconsin. He's a plumber, you know what I mean? And he's like this very, very simple guy, wears, cut off, jeans or whatever, and, has holes in his pants, and, lives a very, very simple life, and now he just inherited $400 million. What in the world is this guy going to do with $400 million? He has no clue how to deal with $400 million. So first thing he's going to do, he's going to throw a big party, he's going to start spending money, his friends are going to start, and he's going to start saying, and his relationship with his wife, they're going to start going on vacations and a whole different thing and this and that. And statistically, his life will be wrecked. His relationship with his wife is going to be wrecked. And everything that happens to him, and most people that win this crazy money that they're not really ready for, it ends up doing more damage than not. Similar, Rabbi Isai, so you have all these like child actor stars, right? All these children. There was one famous one named Macaulay something or other, or something like that. Macaulay Culkin or something like that. You know what I'm talking about? No, you know what I'm talking about? There was a very famous movie called Home Alone. There was this kid in the movie, McCulkey something or other. He was supposed to be very cute, right? Wrecked! His life was totally wrecked after that movie. We think that, like, this kid is, like, made it big, right? Wrecked! Most of these actors, but for sure, kid actors. What? Massive drug addict. Heroin addict. He got into a fight with his parents. He divorced his parents.
He's like, done.
He is done. The kid is over. Game over. We think these kids are so lucky, right? You meet this kid and it'd be like, so wow, can I get your autograph? His life is a wreck. Why? Because a lot of times people don't know how to deal with these things. So, Kodesh Baruch Hu, we want money. How do you know money's going to do well for you? How are you going to do well with money? It could be you're going to make it rich and you are going to be wrecked. Totally wrecked. So we daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and say, Hashem, you are the source of all money. Then it comes a whole different thing. It's a whole different thing. Then the way you're going to deal with the money is a whole different thing. Then you're prepared for the money. If you realize everything is from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's not going to take over your life. It's not going to define you in any way at all. Your person's going to be able to separate himself from his money. He's not going to get heady about it. So that's all these things. Sometimes a person, Kodesh Baruch Hu, is waiting. The emuna is the cure to the illness. It's the cure to the reason why we can't have money. Everything is emuna is what's going to help us. That's the pshat, according to what it says by Gemara in Brachas and Daf Samach Amud Beis. It's a story about Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva was traveling with his... with his little chicken, with his donkey, and his what? And his fire, and his candle. And he wanted to go into town, and everyone in town is like, no, sorry, we're not interested in you. We don't know who you are. We don't care about you. And Rabbi Akiva, so he was forced to do what? Sleep?
In the forest.
Okay, but at least he's got his chicken, and he's got his donkey, and he's got his candle. Well, slowly but surely, Kodesh Baruch Hu takes away his chicken, his donkey, and his candle. His candle blows out. His chicken gets eaten by a...
lion.
A fox. His donkey.
Does.
What? By a lion. And what does Rabbi Kiva say the whole time? Rabbi Kiva is a Talmud of Nachum Ish Gamzu. And what happens? What happens? So Rabbi Kiva wakes up the next morning, he's got nothing, and he goes to the town, and
they're dead.
They're dead. Why are they dead? Because there was bandits sleeping in
the forest.
So if he would have had a light or any of that stuff, he would also be dead. So the question is like this. Okay, Gamzu Tov, very nice. Why did Rabbi Kiva have to go through all of this sleep in the forest, cold? Why did he have to lose his chicken, his turkey? Why did he have to lose all that stuff? I understand. Kodesh Baruch Hu wanted to protect him. You could protect him another way. Why didn't someone come driving by and say, hey, Akiva, you want a lift? And he'd go a lift to the next town, and that's it. And everything's good. I'll get like a nice, comfortable coach. And Kodesh Baruch Hu, Gamzu Tov. Why? Why did it have to happen this way? What's the answer?
That's it.
Because Akiva was willing to go through all this stuff that he was saved. But Etzem, Rabbi Kiva was supposed to be in this town. And Rabbi Kiva was in a dangerous situation. Kodesh Baruch Hu says, you have to have merit to get out of it. What's your merit? Get above this. He built this emuna. Rabbi Kiva got above this. Kodesh Baruch Hu said, now you can be saved. Now you can be saved. So Rabbi, we're talking about someone who lost a lot of money, right? And he's trying to get his money back. You know how he gets his money back? Maybe only in the schus that he says Gamzu L'Toiva is going to get his money back.
That's right. It's
very easy to say. How do you feel?
Oh, so how does a person have emuna? We're going to try to work on how does a person have emuna. So I like to suggest as follows. We have a very famous pasuk. The pasuk says, "Koyam Hashem zacharti loch chesed nuraich." What does it say after that? Ahavas kululosoyach lechtech acharai bamidbar be'eretz loizaruah. We are walking into a desert. There is no food. There is no drink. There's no nothing. You have got to be crazy. Hashem says, "Go that way." We're like, it's suicide to go that way. How could they walk in the midbar? They obviously had
emuna.
Emuna. They obviously had emuna. They did not have a cloud as they were walking in. Yeah. They obviously had emuna Kodesh Baruch Hu. So I think this pasuk is a secret to us on how to have emuna. The answer is it has to have a havas kululoisayach. If you love a Kodesh Baruch Hu, then you can have emuna Kodesh Baruch Hu. A lot of times, we're not interested in having one of those Baruch Hu. I don't want that. I'm not interested in you. Trust me. I trust you. If a person has love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then you trust them. How do we build our love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu? The answer is we have to start looking at all the things HaKadosh Baruch Hu does for us. And I'll tell you what I think is a phenomenal story about a very special person. His name is Rabbi Victor Miller. You heard of him? Rabbi Victor Miller was a very unique person. He was very into appreciating the things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does for us. Like this orange, and he speaks about an orange, and why does Hashem have to make the orange orange? He could have made the orange green, because orange is much more beautiful and much more enjoyable. And why are there pits in the orange? And Rabbi Victor Miller would literally dissect an orange and speak about how there's different pieces in the orange. Why are there different pieces in the orange? Why don't you just make one big orange? Because then you couldn't have to pit the whole thing in your mouth. You'd have to, this way you could peel it off, so there's like it comes peeled. It goes into every single little detail about the orange and why Hashem makes it this way. Why does it have to have a thick peel? Because or else the worms would eat the orange, because it's very sweet, so it has a peel so the worms don't eat it. And it goes through every single thing, and then afterwards you're like, wow, this is an orange. This is an orange. There's actually an English book by someone named Katz, I think his name is. Designer World.
Two books.
No, Katz, not Tats.
Katz.
It's actually a pseudonym. It's not his real name. There's a book, one called Designer World. There's another book. There's two, Hashem's Amazing World. What? Okay, so I think Urizora does a lot of people do the orange thing, but I believe that that he's the makor for the orange, if I'm not mistaken. There's a book by Designer World, and there's two books. It's excellent. It's amazing. It goes through everything HaKadosh Baruch Hu does, and all the chesed, and all the amazing, and how phenomenal it is, and like, you know, an amazing creation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Anyway, this is the story about Rabbi Victor Miller. Someone once walked into Victor Miller's house. He saw Rabbi Miller, his kitchen sink was filled with water, and his head was stuck in the water in the kitchen sink, just like this. Just like that. He's like standing there. He's waiting. 5 seconds. 10 seconds. 15 seconds. And all of a sudden, his head comes flying out of the water, and he's gasping. You okay? So he said, what's going on here? He said, I was talking to someone and he complained to me about how disgusting the air in New York is because it's so polluted. And I felt I wasn't appreciating HaKadosh Baruch Hu's air enough. So I put my head underwater until I couldn't breathe. And the air was so good. It was so good. Teaching himself to appreciate things. We have to learn to appreciate things. You come and what's for dinner tonight? Oh, this stuff is terrible. It's nasty. And it's freezing cold. And everything is bad. And, you know, I got this problem, that problem. Do we appreciate that we have a roof over our head? Do we appreciate that we have clothing to wear? That we have food to eat? You know how many people don't have food? You know, people that they're eating like other people's leftovers, they're like going through the garbage. You know, I have outside of my house, there's someone that goes through our garbage to take things out of the garbage. Do you know how lucky we are that we don't have to do that? You know, the people that they sleep on a floor, they don't have a bed. We have beds. Do you know how many millions of people don't have beds? And a person appreciate that. Hashem is so kind, but we tend not to like do that. We tend to be looking at like, oh, I have the iPhone 5. Oh, it's worth nothing. We're up to 6, right? We're no further than that?
6.
Oh, man. I just have an iPhone 5. It's like nothing. You know how people don't even have a phone? A cell phone? You know how blessed? You understand how blessed we are? You know, 100 years ago, there was no one that had what you had. No one in the entire world, the richest man in the world, didn't have what you had.
Running water.
Running water.
Just palaces.
Running water. You go to Annapolis. I was in Annapolis. Annapolis is a little shtetl in Ukraine. They don't have running water. There's a well in the middle of the town, and they pump water from the well. Today, now. That's what it is. Do you know what that means when they go to the bathroom? Do you know what that means? They don't have a toilet. They don't have their roads on. They don't have cars. They're riding horses and buggies.
Where's this?
Annapolis, Ukraine. No, horses and buggies till today, right now. I mean, I wasn't there this year, but we're not going to Annapolis. Yeah. No.
You should. The running water stops there. Don't fix it, cause no.
No. That just means we should be so overcome with appreciation and love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem is so crazy kind to us. So crazy kind to us. And if you don't, if the water stops, Zundel, then you should say, you know, Hashem, I really appreciate plumbing. I really appreciate plumbing.
They appreciate that they can breathe and that they have all their limbs.
So, you know something? You're asking a good question. But for the moment, Suli, let's work on ourselves. Let's work on ourselves right now. We have so much luxury to be thankful for. So much to be thankful for. A person has that type of appreciation. So then, you love HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you are so nice. So nice to us. It's amazing. A person builds his appreciation for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then he has an easier time trusting HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem, you're so nice. You are so nice. You know this, I'm sure that this is for my good. Because we've created that. But that's what we have to do. Sometimes we tend to like not necessarily focus on the good, or we expect certain things. We feel entitled. I feel entitled. Look, everyone else has got it, so why is that special? If I have less than, you know, everyone else got the iPhone 6, and I only have an iPhone 5, so that's like, I feel like I'm entitled to an iPhone 6. That's what everyone else has. A person shouldn't feel it. The difference between entitlement and privilege is gratitude. If you thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you can feel privileged. We feel lucky. You feel privileged. If you have gratitude, you have thanks, so then you can have everything. But you feel privileged. If you feel entitled, then okay, this is like just part of like part for the course. Everyone has this. You take it for granted. You shouldn't take anything for granted. There's a great book. It's called Designer World. I'm giving you a little bit of a
Designer World.
Designer World. It's an amazing world. A designer world. Someone named Katz. We're gonna see if we have it. If not, maybe we'll buy one. That's it for now. Rabbi say we're going to continue Beis Hashem next week.